नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। 8 chapter 22 text number 8. This chapter is entitled as Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. Pitamaho me bhavadiya sammataha praharad avishkrita saduvadaha bhavad vipakshena vichitra vaishasa संप्रापितस्त्वं परमस्वपित्रा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय ग्रैंडफादर प्रहलाद महाराज इज फेमस बीइंग रिकॉग्नाइज्ड बाय ऑल योर डिवोटीज। ऑल्दो हरास्ड इन मेनी वेज बाय हिज फादर हिरण्यकश्यपु, ही स्टिल रिमेन फेथफुल टेकिंग शेल्टर एट योर लोटस फीट। A pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, although harassed circumstantially in many ways, never gives up the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take shelter of anyone else. A pure devotee never complains against the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A vivid example is Prahlad Maharaj. Examining the life of Prahlad Maharaj, we can see how severely he was harassed by his own father, Hiranyakashipu. Yet he did not divert his attention from the Lord even to the smallest extent. Bali Maharaj, following in the footsteps of his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, remained fixed in his devotion to the Lord, despite the Lord's having punished him. Hare Krishna. Bali Maharaj is speaking after being harassed by Lord Vamandev, unjustly in one sense. So therefore, bhakti, very interesting principle, that when we seek justice, we lose shelter. In this world, the natural tendency of a conditioned soul is to look for justice. I have been wronged. And naturally, when we look for justice, that means we have a shelter in our good behavior. When we seek shelter in our good behavior and expect good result of that good behavior, that diverts our attention from taking shelter of Krishna. When justice is sought, shelter is lost. And this is what we see, the unique character of Bali Maharaj. If you see from any logical point of view, what Vamandev is doing, in one sense, worse than what Hiranyakashipu is doing to Prahlad. Because Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu had different ideas, so it was expected there will be conflict. But here, the oneness in understanding between Vamandev and Bali Maharaj is there, but still, and Brahmaji actually confirms this principle. He told, "My dear Lord, this is unfair what you are doing, because according to your own principle, that you are pleased with the devotee if somebody offers you what to speak of Pataram Pushpam." Here Brahmaji says, even the flower which is not even blown fully, a flower bud. Sometimes many flowers do not become flowers. Before that only they die as bud. He said, even someone offers that to you and little water, you are pleased. And this man, this Bali Maharaj, has offered everything to you. And this is unfair on your part. Brahmaji became the lawyer for Bali Maharaj. So very, very sweet aspect of bhakti. That Bali Maharaj is not seeking justice. If you read this part, Bali Maharaj surrendered his life to Krishna. Basically, very beautiful verse. One verse he told, he spoke to Vamandev. He said, although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinates like this, the way you are punished. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. So here Vamandev has bound Bali Maharaj with the rope of Varun through Garud in public assembly. Very humiliating. You do something good, but in turn you get humiliating experience. And especially someone whom you are more attached to. Somebody whom you are more attached to, they treat you with the neglect we see in this world. Therefore, where people love each other so, you know, desperately, giving up all regards to the opinions of the parents, the superiors, you know. But then that very friendship, that very relationship is destroyed and broken in due course of time. Many times it happens in Kali Yuga, it's increasing. Why like that? Because there is so much of expectation from each other. If some outsider does it, you logically deal with that. But someone who is very close to you deals like that, it's very painful. Prabhupada explains in one place, he said what Bali Maharaj did in regards to surrendering to Vamandev, he said it's extremely difficult to surrender even in that condition. It's extremely difficult. So therefore, someone whom you love more than your life, you are emotionally, socially, physically, spiritually, in every aspect you are attached, then he treats you like this, brings Varundev, you know, from the demigod's planet, and Garudji is there, and Varun appears in the form of a rope, and you are tied, and sarcastically you are being commented, what will happen to the third step? It is not simply a story. It is the story of you and me. What we go through in our life, psychologically, socially, justice, justice, justice. And what happens? Justice seeking, it actually removes us from shelter of Krishna. It's an actual fact. But some or other Bali Maharaj, by his great connection to Prahlad Maharaj, giving a brilliant example, when Lord Narsingdev killed Hiranyakashipu, in one sense Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad Maharaj more than killing once. When Bhima was killing Dushyasan, a very interesting point, when he was killing Dushyasan for his violent act, so Bhima wanted to kill him many ways, in very different torturous ways, because the anger in Bhima was so great. You can imagine Bhima having the quality of patience. Doesn't go well with him. Because he can handle, you know, he can manage the situation, but because of his brother, he has to maintain the patience. But when the time came for him to act justly against Dushyasan, he asked him, which hand? And even though he's dying, Dushyasan, he said, this hand. He lifted his left hand and Bhima pulled it. He was dead on the spot. So Bhima said, oh, this is very unfortunate, that death has become merciful to Dushyasan. His torture is over instantly. So from a justice point of view, Hiranyakashipu being killed by Lord Narsingdev, you know, bursting the balloon suddenly, does not meet with proper punishment. He requires as many times he had caused trouble to Prahlad Maharaj, that many times Hiranyakashipu should have been tortured. But instantly he was killed. But Prahlad is not asking, what is this, my dear Lord? He tortured me so much and you are only torturing him so little. That was not the interest of Prahlad. The interest of Prahlad Maharaj was, in all this situation, shelter. I need shelter. I need shelter. I need shelter. Therefore, Bali Maharaj, even though Lord Vamandev has bound him with ropes of Varuna, we read in the Shastra, Krishna reciprocates with devotee. But the same principle is applied with Krishna also. Devotee also reciprocates. As Lord behaves with his pure devotee, similarly Krishna's devotee reciprocates. And what is this reciprocation? The reciprocation is, that Vamandev has bound Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna, and now Bali Maharaj is binding Krishna, Vamandev, with the ropes of his Saranagati. And binding him so tightly, Varuna's rope, how long it can survive? It didn't survive for a long time. But Bali Maharaj's rope of affection, surrender, is so great that it forced Vamandev to go down to Sutala Loka as his doorkeeper. Why? Because of this quality. He said, I will eternally, he said, what to speak of other demigods, even the presiding deity of Sutala Loka will not be able to conquer you. How can he conquer? Because I will be guarding your Loka as your doorkeeper. Ravan conquered everybody. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Ravan conquered everybody when he came to Sutala Loka to attack Bali Maharaj to prove his superiority. Vamandeva was there and he simply kicked him. Gave a kick. No, football. And where Ravan, he went beyond Sutala Loka, some other planet only. And never ever thought also in his mind to ever again attack Sutala Loka. So we see how Bali Maharaj conquered Vishnu not with the principle of justice. If there is any problem in this world, more than sin is the sin of being righteous. In Kali Yuga, people are shameless in regards to sinful activity. Abundantly available, you know, shamelessness. And people don't mind doing sinful activities. And in such surrounding, if someone who is beyond sin lives a life of high morality, which is wanted in this age of Kali, lives a high moral life, lives high quality traditional life, but what does it do? That gives rise to great pride, unfortunately. And therefore, when they are misjudged in certain surrounding, their expectation of wanting justice, you know, reward for their good behavior, causes them unlimited disturbance. When they are disturbed so much, what happens? It is natural outcome that their concept of taking shelter of Vishnu is minimized. They judge the management of Lord Vishnu. They judge the management of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What kind of management is this? So therefore, morality has a value as a tool to serve Krishna's purpose. If that very morality becomes a disturbance in our devotional service, then that has to be abandoned. We were discussing in our Brahmachari class in regards to Yudhishthira Maharaj. When Yudhishthira Maharaj told Krishna, I can't tell lies. How can I tell lies? He said, I never spoken lie. I am a personification of dharma. I can never tell lie. But whom he was telling it to Krishna. Even if you say that Krishna is asking Yudhishthira Maharaj to do something which is against his nature, but who is saying? Krishna is saying. Even from a devotional point of view, he should have done. But from another point of view, you're talking about morality, you're talking about not telling lies. But just few years before, you spoke a greatest lie. Gambling. What is gambling? What does gambling does? Gambling breaks the most important principle of truthfulness. That's a lie. When somebody gambles, whatever it is, whether asked by the superiors, whether asked by somebody else, as a Kshatriya, he gambled. Not only gambled, he also staked his wife in the gambling match. Willing to offer that also. So there will always be history for our morality where we were immoral. So why claim that I am greatest moralist? Again, another point of Karna's friendship. We are also discussing this point. In the mundane world, people glorify his friendship. So great was his friendship. He was willing to forgo, even though you know about the reality that if I don't fight for Krishna, I'll be dead. But still I'll stand for my friend. I'll not let him down. Another mundane principle which he himself broke. If you are a real friend of your friend, it's a question of no conditions applied. When Bhishma insulted Karna purposefully, you know, saying that he is not even a half rati because he is cursed. What happened? In that condition, Karna told you Duryodhan, that I'm going to fight here. Till Bhishma Dev lives, I'm not going to fight. And Krishna went in public place asking Karna, will you join us for 10 days as long as Bhishma lives? You can fight for us. Once Bhishma is dead, you can go back and fight. Just imagine going to a prime minister of a country, asking some ordinary MLA or MP, you know, here and there, and trying to make them defect to other party is a natural situation, keeps happening. But if you go and call Manmohan Singh only, why don't you join our BJP party? That's a morally a great, you know, psychologically effect. It affects the other party. So Krishna is causing a psychological effect, going to Karna asking, why don't you join? Creating a weakness in Kaurava's army and proving that your so-called friendship is already broken. Law means no condition applied. You already applied the condition. You are supposed to serve him at this point of time, but you are so attached to your own false ego. You know, your status as being the greatest warrior, and you're being called as half-rati by the very commander of Duryodhan. Whatever difference of opinion you have, but it can't stop your friendship with Duryodhan. This is the time he requires your most important help, active help, supporting him, hell or high water, death or life. But what he did, he withdrew. So therefore, anybody claims, you know, I'm the greatest moralist, he'll have a history. In the very lifetime, in his near, you know, in the memory of his lifetime, that there is a story of you being acting which is against the Shastric injunction, but somebody supported you, somebody helped you, somebody sheltered you, and therefore you could continue to practice whatever you are practicing. It's a very important point. Otherwise, where there is demand for, you know, right and wrong, then we come to the domain of hell and heaven. Then we go into that cycle of hell and heaven. We can't go beyond the concept of hell and heaven to the Vaikuntha Lok. Vaikuntha platform is the platform of beyond right and wrong. It's a place for seeking shelter. Bhakti is not about, yes, in the sadhaka stage, there is a facility for good surrounding. But our surrounding will always not remain safe and secure. The material world is so arranged that even in the most safest position, there will be some kind of, if not physically, mentally, psychologically, there will be disturbance. Then we can't question, Krishna, why are you doing like this? As Bali Maharaj, in one sense, materially, he was in the most unsafest position, surrounded by the demons. Of course, Krishna gave that benediction also to Bali Maharaj when he went to Sutala Loka. You will not be affected by these demons. That benediction was also given. But it does happen that our surrounding is not always very friendly. Material world is made like that. It is not that Krishna is interested in putting a devotee into severe test. Another principle, another arrogance on the part of a sadhaka is to think is that, you know, Krishna is testing me. It is not Krishna testing. You are suffering your own reaction. That is a better way to look at. Like, you know, I heard one story that how devotee, the great devotees, they approach. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna showed his universal form to Arjun, which was not seen by any demigods also. Nobody had seen that form. Krishna told Arjuna, only because you are my devotee, you know, this is not seen through any kinds of mundane process. Because you are my devotee, I have shown this form. Even the demigods I have not seen. And the 12th chapter is the qualities of the devotees. Almost 42 qualities are there. So in those qualities, when you have seen Krishna, but then you start self-analysis. These 40 qualities or 42 qualities are the qualities to see how many qualities you have. When you find no quality, then you realize that you are not a devotee. So therefore, a devotee, a true devotee of the Lord never claims as a devotee. There was one great devotee, and he was a scholar also. He was being very successful in doing many things, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So naturally that brings envy of others, even amongst the other devotees. This is the problem with the mundane world. So the other scholars and other people were so envious of this person. What they did, they made a garland of shoes, chappal garland. And they placed it outside his door. Because he would get up early every morning, go to bathe in the Kaveri river and collect tulsi flowers, bring back to his Shaligram Shila, worship them. So they're hoping that when he opens the door, that shoe garland falls on his face, on his neck, and they will clap. That was their pleasure. So when he opened the door, certainly their mission was executed. The garland directly fell into his neck. Now for any, again, somebody does like that, it's very painful. So instantly compiled a shloka. He compiled a shloka. He said, my dear Lord, the jnanis, they look for assimilating unlimited knowledge of the Vedas. And the yogis look for mystic power. And the devotees look for the dust from the feet of other devotees. And he placed that chappal on his head. All of them, they fell at his feet. So just see, instantly, is it that that's a response? To give instant response to such situation is the great reward from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in bhakti, Bali Maharaj, Prabhupada writes in one place, he was exhibiting great patience. The difference between determination and patience, determination has a movement, it moves. There is a great stride, moving towards one's objective. A determined person wants to move towards God with great force, with his own endeavor, with his efforts. And this quality of determination is very much required for sadhaka. A sadhaka has to move in his sadhana as fast as possible. But without patience, determination can create another problem of justice seeking, result seeking. And what is patience? Patience is hoping the Lord will move towards you. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the character of Gadadhar Pandit is a brilliant character. Gadadhar Pandit is a character where the Lord was testing that, Lord Chaitanya was testing Gadadhar Pandit that he should retaliate. He neglected him for a few days. He would not allow him to come to him. And then Gadadhar Pandit was forced by another devotee who was not from Gaudiya Sampradaya, but a great devotee of the Lord. Another play was being played by Lord Chaitanya with him. And nobody was listening what he was speaking. So he wanted some crowd. Some people he wanted to speak what he had read, what he had written, what he had experienced, the realization of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it forcibly come to Gadadhar Pandit. Please listen. And none of other devotees of Lord Chaitanya would listen from him. And he would be forced, and he was a very mild devotee. He could not say no. Every devotee is different. He knew that he should not be listening, but he couldn't hurt this devotee. And this devotee would come and read everything what he had compiled. And this caused anger in the heart of other devotees. They were angry with Gadadhar Pandit. How could you listen to what Lord Chaitanya doesn't listen? They could not understand his mood, his heart. And they were criticizing Gadadhar Pandit. But Gadadhar Pandit's mood was, he was not a retaliator. He was a mild, he would expect suffering to come in his life and he would tolerate that. To the extent where Lord Chaitanya also kind of rejected him, superficially. Eventually when Mahaprabhu came to him and he said, why, Sarup Damodar Goswami asked him, why don't you retaliate? Gadadhar Pandit started crying, how can I retaliate? That is not my nature. Whenever the mercy comes, I will accept. If the mercy doesn't come, I wait for it. I don't run. So therefore in sadhana we need determination, but when the result has to come from Krishna, one needs patience. Otherwise, again, the concept of the justice comes here. So therefore here Bali Maharaj is exhibiting such a patience. And in one place in the Bhagavad Gita also, Prabhupada in the purport writes that Arjavam, the quality of simplicity was so great in Bali Maharaj. He was a great diplomatic king. You can't be simple to rule the world. Simplicity is nothing to do with stupidity. Those who are highly qualified could be, some of the greatest stupid people in regards to making their judgment. But simplicity is the purity of the heart. Even though he knows this will be the result, but that result will please his grandfather. How did Bali Maharaj got the strength to take the decision of giving something to Vamandev and to bear the torture caused by Vamandev? In both cases, he remembered Prahlad Maharaj. Here also he is remembering Prahlad Maharaj, taking his example that how much he suffered in his life. He said, I am a grandson of Prahlad. How can I deny giving what Vamandev is asking? He asked this to Shukracharya and he gave in remembering Prahlad Maharaj. And now he is suffering so much. Again he is remembering Prahlad Maharaj. He said, Prahlad Maharaj went through greater suffering than what I went. But his determination to serve Krishna was never minimized. One explanation is given when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad about Vishnu, about absolute truth. He said the concept of absolute truth is fixed. It never changes based upon your experiences. He said absolute truth remains absolute truth whether your conditions are good or whether your conditions are bad. They don't change. He said, for me, Vishnu is Vishnu. Vishnu is my shelter. Vishnu is my well-wisher in all conditions of life. Whether Vishnu treats me nicely according to your perception, whatever Vishnu treats me, I cannot make such a distinction. Oh, this is a good treatment, this is a bad treatment. This is a good Vishnu and this is a bad Vishnu. Vishnu is good. Therefore, Prabhupada explained that whether Lord kills or whether Lord protects, it is all protection. In the mundane world, whether it is protection or danger, both are dangerous situations. So this concept was very fixed in Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj told Hiranyakashipu, said, for me, it doesn't matter. Because however Vishnu comes to me, I don't see distinction in how he comes. I see Vishnu only. I see only Lord Narayan. Because I see Lord Narayan in everything, so my definition of Lord Narayan does not change. It remains the same. So this consciousness of Vishnu being good in all situations is not very easy. Therefore, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami explains the Atma Nivedanam which Bali Maharaj exhibited and friendship of Krishna's friends. These two limbs of bhakti are extremely rare. They are extremely difficult. But again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as we said, it is not a question of testing. He tests his pure devotees to prove their superiority. He tests them. But most of us, we are not tested. Most of us, we suffer our own mistakes. That we have to understand. As a conditioned soul, wanting to be devotee, the best psychological understanding is to say that I am suffering my own previous consequences. Therefore, the principle of karma, if we study Bhagavad Gita presents different aspect. And whom does Krishna speak to? He's speaking to Arjun. Krishna talks about his quality of being very merciful, his quality of being giving shelter, giver, sarvadharman parityajya, his quality of being very easily accessible, patram pushpam phalam toyam, his quality of being very, liberal in regards to offering his mercy. If not this, you can do this one. If not this one, you can do this one. He's being very kind, very merciful in regards to how accessible he is for devotees and conditioned souls. But at the same time, Krishna also talks about the nature of this material world. Why should he speak if it is not relevant to someone like Arjun, who is a Sakyaras devotee? Why does he speak about three modes of material nature? Why does he speak even about food? Why does he speak even about different kinds of charity? Now, why should he speak something which is irrelevant knowledge? When Arjuna is a pure devotee, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the subject matter should not be below than this subject matter, but still the concept of influencing, the three modes influencing, he speaks that. As a practicing devotee, we should be aware that the three modes of material nature do affect us. And the power of three modes of material nature they force us to perform something we are not supposed to perform. And then what happens when we perform activities which is against the shastric injunction, the reaction comes. Assumption does not work. In bhakti, bhakti being a science, when there is assumption, you know, after all I'm a devotee, it's okay if I do this. And if the result comes opposite what we assume, then we question, why did it happen like this when I'm a devotee? No, if our surrounding is influenced by three modes of material nature, which Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is like a thali, a plate full of different varieties of food. When we take lunch, in the lunch plate you don't have only dal. You know, there is a moong dal, there is udad dal, there is tur dal, and there is all mixed dal. You don't eat only dal and enjoy your prasad, even though you may like dal the most. On the lunch plate you don't have only rice. No, pulao rice and then masala bhat and Chinese rice and Thai rice. You will not enjoy. Neither in the plate you have only ice cream. It is not called as lunch. What is the nature of a lunch thali which they serve in Govinda's restaurant? You only serve rice or, you know, they serve every item. Rice is there, dal is there, chapati is there, and pickle is also there, sabji is there, variety is there. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not only giving the sweet. I'm loving you, whatever you do, it's okay, no problem. However you come to me, I'll accept. You know, even if you are not a devotee, if you practice this much, I'll accept you. Just offer fruits, flowers, it's okay. Sarva dharman paritej, it's okay. You know, he's not only speaking all those 700 verses. If Krishna only spoke these 700 verses, what will happen? Then we'll take Krishna for granted. So Krishna also giving the warning signals. What you are not supposed to be doing. What is not expected of a practicing devotee. Krishna in the 16th chapter talks about asuric nature and the divine nature and assures Arjuna, Arjuna, do not worry, you are made of divine nature. But the warning is given to Arjuna that if you do not follow me, in the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, out of false ego. What is false ego? False ego is again demonic nature. Out of false ego, if you do not follow me, you will be destroyed. But if you follow my advice, then wonderful will happen. Therefore, Arjuna at the end, he said, yes, my dear Lord, nasto moha smrtir labdva, tat prasadal maya chuta. He said, by your grace, all my moha has been removed. And therefore, whatever you say, I'm willing to do. So the whole spectrum of Bhagavad Gita, the karma principle is there, the three modes principle is there, the mercy principle is there, the justice principle is there. But all these principles ultimately have to lead to the concept of taking shelter of Krishna at all times. And that is what Bali Maharaj is teaching us. Bali Maharaj, being such a wonderful devotee, you know, exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms. Just imagine that Krishna is doing all this to him, but at the same time his mouth is speaking some of the most beautiful verses. If you study in the Bhagavatam, one of the most important character, the most influencing character, most impressive character is the character of Bali Maharaj. Why? Because the rest other characters, mostly they are devotees from very beginning. Parikshit, Pandavas, Prahlad Maharaj, Gopis of Vrindavan. You know, they were born devotees, they practice devotional service. But here Bali Maharaj is someone like all of us. Bali Maharaj's ambitions were realized materially also. He became the king of the universe. And we also have many, many desires, limitless desires. Only difference is most of our desires are never fulfilled. But there is no difference in regards to having ambitions. What he wanted and what we want. So for someone like that who is materially ambitious and at the same time being successful, being harassed by Lord Vishnu, who was not his constant companion, neither his surrounding was friendly to Vishnu worship. He was working in one of the biggest corporations and he was the CEO of that company. And there was no other company existing, only his company was existing. There was no competition. So still, when Vamandev took everything away from Bali Maharaj, our Hridayanand Maharaj explains, he said, if you study Bali Maharaj's character, it is not that he was Mahajan from very beginning. He became Mahajan by the grace of Prahlad. These are not the qualities of Mahajan, being materially ambitious, having battles against Vishnu's devotees, trying to get the position of somebody else. This is not the qualities of Mahajan. He had the potential of becoming a Mahajan because he was connected to Prahlad. And he was exhibiting the character of his great grandfather Hiranyakashipu. So he had a conflict of these two characters, of being like a Hiranyakashipu and also could become like Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, Bali Maharaj is such a character that having such a bad background of being a great ambitious person, when Vamandev came and asked him to give something, he gave it to Vishnu. And not only gave it to Vishnu, he continued to give. The concept in bhakti, there is one thing. If you give, you receive. When you give, when you receive, then you have faith. Okay, giving brings you back. That is in the beginning stage. If I chant Hare Krishna, I become happy. Therefore, let me chant more. Sometimes you hear this story. Somebody was chanting Hare Krishna and the exam paper was so easy. Next day, it was so easy. And then you are chanting Hare Krishna and you are supposed to meet with an accident. But then you called out for Hare Krishna. Then again, nothing happened. Then you chant more rounds. But there is no guarantee when you chant more rounds that there is no more accident. It could be a more severe accident than previous accident which did not take place. But then, can we say, oh, why, Krishna, I chanted your name, but why you did not protect me? So here, Bali Maharaj gave to Vishnu, so natural psychology is that, okay, I've given you something, now you treat me nicely. But by giving to Vishnu, the treatment is worst. But Bali Maharaj's devotion to Vishnu is increasing, enhancing as Vishnu is treating him much worse. He's becoming more and more determined, ecstatic, crying tears, glorifying Vishnu, becoming more philosophical about worshipping Vishnu. He said, what is this world? He said, so many people come here and they die without doing anything. So not only Bali Maharaj is offering to Vishnu, determined to offer to Vishnu, but he's becoming full of wisdom philosophically also. This is the beauty. So therefore, this character of Bali Maharaj in Bhagavatam is very much inspiring for a practicing devotee. Gopis, it's ecstatic. They're ecstatic devotees. You may love, you may enjoy their stories. But you may say, I can't learn this because they're already gopis. If I try to imitate, then we are sahajiyas. But we can try to imitate Bali Maharaj. That without seeking for justice, if we can seek for shelter in all condition, no justice asked. Now I'm speaking from my own experience also. When we seek for justice, our shelter is reduced. Our shelter is minimized. But if we continue seeking shelter even when we are misunderstood and continue to worship Krishna, chant his holy name and practice devotional service, then Krishna gives the intelligence. Therefore, the acharyas, before reaching Prahlad's stage of Atma Nivedanam, it is so brilliant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is there, and in the other scripture is also there. For someone who is not on the level of Bali Maharaj, what he could do? What is Sharanagati made? How Sharanagati made so simple? Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. That is the beginning. He said, anything which is favorable on a mundane platform, if we accept, we are becoming closer to Sharanagati. The mundane surrounding is not favorable to practicing devotional service. It gives us anti-Krishna consciousness. It is anti-Krishna only. So therefore, when we are surrounded by such consciousness, which is pratikula for our bhakti, then the doubt is raised. Therefore, Krishna, the acharyas explain, that to reach to that platform, what do you have to do? Anukulyasya sankalpa. When you are in favorable surrounding, what do? You avoid pratikulasya. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulasya varjanam. That which is not favorable, you give up. When these two principles are followed, the third is Rakshisiti Vishwaso. The trust or the belief is developed within one's consciousness that Krishna will protect me. You don't question Krishna. Why? Because you have followed these two principles. And then Goptrutve Varanam Tata. Krishna is the maintainer. Krishna will provide me. When this happens, then Atmanikshepa is very easy. Then self-surrender is very easy. Then Karpanya. Humility is the last principle. You know, it's very easy to be humble in regards to etiquette. Bowing down to the Lord, bowing down to the devotees, you know, speaking sweetly to other party. This is all external, which is very important in civic behavior. But humility is what Bali Maharaj is expressing, a humility of, I am not right, you are right. In all condition, I need your shelter. This humility of a devotee, like that story is there of Parashar Bhat, that one day in the temple of Ranganath, you know, he was standing and praying, offering prayers to the Lord, and a crow came inside. When the crow came inside, I remember many years back, we had two pigeons coming in the temple hall when Maharaj was giving a lecture. And they had to switch off all the fan because they were fearing, you know, that goes to the fan and it will cut into pieces and blood will fall. So they closed down and there was disturbance in the class. And that pigeon was thrown out. So the crow came, because in the Smartha Vidhi where devotees feel, oh, this is contamination. So what they did was, because crow is considered as chandala amongst the birds. So they did all kind of purification, chanted different kinds of mantras. So Parashar Bhat was thinking, this crow is standing since hours together here. He stands every day. And my Lord, you don't get contaminated. That was his expression. Very spontaneously spoke with tears in his eyes. He said, this crow, you know, is innocent, does not know good and bad, unclean and clean. Why create such a trouble for this crow, calling that, you know, you're contaminated. But this crow is standing such a long time, and then, but still, you know, you are not affected by that. Yes, certainly you are not affected, because you are the person who purifies anything which is contaminated. Even though this crow, which is worse than a chandala crow, is standing. So that humility, when does it come? It comes naturally when we step by step practice. Anukulyasa sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. Therefore bhakti, as Prabhupada explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is a very practical science. It is not assumed science. When we assume something not based upon that science and the result is opposite of what we assume, then we have to go back. Okay, what was the principle spoken? This was the principle. And what did I assume? I assume that this will happen. But this didn't happen. Something else happened. And something else what happened was already predicted in the scripture. It is. That's how it works. Bhagavad Gita is there, Bhagavatam is there, Chaitanya Charitamrita is there, Mahabharata is there. When we assume something and practice, no, ho jayega, sab theek ho jayega. No, aisa theek nahi hoga. Why? Because it is against the law of the nature. When I put my finger in the fire, whether I'm a pure devotee or a no devotee, the fire burns. Whether it is a fire coming from Krishna's lamp or fire coming from the cremation ground. What is the nature of the fire? The nature of the fire is to burn. That is how Krishna's creation is made. Similarly, any surrounding which is unfavorable is like a fire. Whether as a devotee I go there or whether as a non-devotee I go there, however I go, this is a gross fire and that is a subtle fire. And if I think, no, nothing will happen to me, that is childish. The fire says, you are a child or childish. I don't care. My nature is to burn. I will burn. So similarly, the mundane, the material world is so designed. You can't blame. We don't blame. When the child puts his hand in the fire, the mother doesn't blame the fire, doesn't go and chastise the fire. You rascal, why did you burn my son's finger? The mother chastises the child only. But unfortunately, with the subtle fire, what do we do? We don't blame ourselves putting our hand in the fire. We blame the fire only. why this happened to my child, why this happened to me. But again, if you analyze carefully, whatever has happened is nothing but a science. The science of the laws of material nature. Because it is the science of laws of material nature, it is functioning. So just like we don't blame the fire, don't blame what we are experiencing. It has to come, it has come. We have to experience that, and there is no other choice. And how do we experience? We experience understanding, okay, this was my mistake only. Not that Krishna is testing. I am not so great so that Krishna can test me. Krishna tests only his pure devotees. And because we are trying to be devotees, he minimizes our wrongdoings. Gives a little quota. Just imagine if Krishna had to give what we are supposed to experience, that would be very painful. He's only giving very little. Just as Prabhupada explained, when you cut your, you know, finger little bit, when you are cutting vegetables, he taught this very simple principle. He said, what you should think? He said, when your finger is cut, you should think, today my head was supposed to be chopped off. That's what I'm supposed to expect. But because Krishna is kind, not that because I have taken devotional service, Krishna is kind, he has made it very minimal. So Bhakti, our Bali Maharaj, is such a beautiful example for all of us to follow. That don't seek justice in this world. That is the most dangerous platform. What do you seek? Shelter. If we seek shelter, then, you know, Krishna, the way he treated Bali Maharaj, forever he becomes our protector and kicks Ravan. The principle of Ravan is to cry for something which is not supposed to be cried for. Ravan means to cry, to make others cry. So any principle which makes us cry, it is the principle of Ravan. And we need Ravan to be kicked from our life. No, unnecessarily lamenting for no reason. Very beautiful. Anything makes us cry is the principle of Ravan. Anything which makes us cry, other than crying for Krishna. So therefore, Vamandev, if taken shelter like Bali Maharaj, he has the power to kick Ravan far away from us so that we don't need to cry for anything and continue to take shelter of Krishna without seeking justice. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Grantara Shimad.
Hare Krishna Puja. Roji, we see the character of Uttarasura. He was also quite similar. He was demoniac, was attacking the demigods. And then there was this dramatic transformation on the battlefield. Or at least there was a manifestation of the transformation. And then Shukadeva Goswami tells the previous life, where he was Chitraketu and become a great devotee. So is there some similar history of Bali Maharaj's previous life? Because you mentioned that it was Prahlad Maharaj's blessings. But what was it that at that particular moment... Because earlier chapters in the 8th canto describe how we quite fiercely attacked the demigods and they had to flee. So he seems to be like, as you said, materially ambitious, to some extent malevolent to the demigods also. And has he manifested any devotion in the previous life or any instances in this life earlier? Or how does this transformation suddenly take place?
No, that's what the whole process of bhakti is so wonderful. And if you always find some good behavior or good quality, good life in his previous life, then you say, okay, you know, he was a pure devotee anyway in the previous life, therefore he could manifest. That defeats the whole definition of devotional service. The prerequisite is not required. Anybody can, you know, become a pure devotee. The concept of Nitya Siddha is there and Nitya Baddha are there. Nitya Baddha also can become pure devotee, exhibit these qualities. No, like, our devotees, another principle, how Krishna is so kind. Within 1 month span, you know, three of our dedicated devotees' parents, either father or mother, passed away. Okay, Gaurang Prabhu's father, Paramahansa Prabhu's mother, Madhvacharya Prabhu's father. And I was thinking, sometimes Krishna rewards more than those who dedicated their life to Krishna. The way he rewards them. So quick, 3 years, go back to Godhead. Right? 3 years, devotional service. No politics. No management, no stress, no nothing. And just see the transformation Gauram Prabhu's father, when they shifted him from Jaslok to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, that evening, because he was not informed, in the mundane world, the concept of informing is not there. Keep him in ignorance as long as possible. And suddenly departs, having so many desires in his mind. Because they have no solution also. If they explain also, what they will say? You are dying? That's all? What is the next destination? So they don't know where. What is the next destination. So by telling them, you will die, since they don't have the next destination, and they don't want to die, you end up making them ghosts by declaring that. A very precarious situation for those who are less informed. But for a devotee, he knows, you know, that you are going to lose your person, but whom are you losing to? You are losing to Krishna. He is taking away from you, you are losing that personality, but where is he going? He is going to Krishna. So that evening he was not informed till that evening. So then when Gauram Prabhu told him, he said, your grandchildren are coming. He said, let them come. I'm going to live for 10 years more. He said very confidently, because it was a subtle message. He was giving a subtle message, your grandchildren are coming. That means you are not going to stay for a long time. But he was, you know, defying. He said, no, I'm going to stay for 10 years. That confidence. And Prabhupada welcomes that kind of confidence in the Bhagavatam purport. He said, a living entity should aspire to live as long as possible to increase one's devotional service. Nowadays, people are all, you know, suicidal, all the time thinking, you know, marnachi, student wants to die, you know, professional wants to die, you know, everybody, if something doesn't happen, the next option is commit suicide. There is no other option only. Why not take renunciation? Why only die and become a ghost? There is another option of devotional service. If I don't get what I get, then I will commit suicide. Suicidal tendencies are increasing so much. So someone says, I want to live for 10 years, that shows that his life was quite good. I was very happy to hear that. But at the same time, I was thinking, you know, he should be informed. So, then we discuss. Then in the night, someone who wants to stay for 10 years, and then Gauram Prabhu and other doctors, they informed him that, you know, actually you're not going to live. The disease is very terminal and you have to pass, you have to live from this world. And there was immediate shift. Why? Because the knowledge was there. He was practicing devotional service. It was our fault. It was the doctor's fault. They had not informed. Once being informed, because the option was already there, if not here, then I'll live with Krishna not only for 10 years, eternally. Then he said, yes, I'm ready to go to Krishna. Such a change. And how that change came? Because of that information. That is the power of difference between ignorance and knowledge. How knowledge leads one to perfect consciousness. And then everything was arranged because he was ready to live. You know, the letter came from Maharaj, then the phone call came from Maharaj. You know, devotees were there, the son was there, the daughter was there, the grandchildren were there, you know, and then the son-in-law was there. Everybody is there. Someone who was very dear to him was there. And Krishna made also speak something which was expected of someone who is a devotee to speak. So everything was so arranged. It was Sunday, hundreds of devotees could come, greet him, you know. So I was thinking, just see, somebody else served and somebody else got the result. The dedication was somebody else's. Of course, his dedication was he raised him like that. So therefore, naturally he has to get that reward. And then again, Madhvacharya Prabhu's father also. Amazing, you know, he had a cancer. And according to the doctor, he had to suffer for many, many months. Intense suffering. But everything happened within few days. And you can imagine, nowadays, who can serve? Madhvacharya Prabhu went to serve his father. His older brother, he works in the Indian Airlines, he was serving. His son, 21-year-old, MBA studying boy, he was doing all the work of a nurse. You know, cleaning his body, cleaning everything, taking care of his grandfather. He was surrounded by so many affectionate people. Not only affectionate people, but they were also providing devotional atmosphere to him. And his father said, you know, if I survive, I want to read Bhagavatam. And before that, when he got the cancer, he told Madhvacharya Prabhu, you know what, in our family, nobody has lived more than 70 years. So I'm more than 70 as a bonus Krishna has given. So anyway, I've lived my life, I got a bonus. And then, you know, he was there, Madhvacharya was there chanting Hare Krishna, fully conscious. Madhvacharya's father was absolutely conscious till his last breath, and he quit his body, you know, hearing the holy names of the Lord. Another effect of somebody else's devotional service. And then Paramahamsa Prabhu's mother, within the 2 days, the effect, the environment was still there in the hospital, you know, and she sees the dream, Prabhupada coming to her, and she is making him a coffee, not the regular coffee, the soya coffee, which devotees sometimes drink. Of course, we don't serve in the ashram, be assured. So she is providing that coffee to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is telling her, don't worry. You know, don't be fearful. I am there. I'll take care of you. And she's saying, this is not a dream. It's a reality. It's a reality. And again, she's also conscious. And then devotees are there to chant for her. They chant Hare Krishna for her. And she leaves her body, you know, in a very wonderful Krishna conscious way. So therefore, it proves, you know, that connection. Some remote connection with the devotee, you know, if it's there, and if we accept that connection, ultimately, you know, in ultimate sense, every living entity is connected to Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya. So it is not surprising if someone does that, remembers Krishna at the time of death and goes back to Godhead. From a material point of view, it's very surprising. But from his eternal relationship point of view, that's what he's supposed to do. The surprising thing is that he's here. And he stayed here for so long, suffering without Krishna. So whether it is Chitraketu, Bali Maharaj, the stories are there yesterday, as Madan Gopal was mentioning. Pandavas told Narad Muni, actually we are not good example of being a devotee. He said, don't quote us. We are best of the devotees, because people will not take to path of devotional service. Pandavas? No. Stay away from them. Now, their life is more in the forest than in the palace. They were born in the forest, stayed there, Mahabharata explains, for 13 years. They came. And how long they stayed? Not many years. And then again they had to go. Before that also, when Draupadi was married to them, that time also they were in the forest, Varanavat. They came back. Again they had to go to the forest for 13 years. They came back. And how long they stayed? 36 years as the king. So more life in the forest and less in the palace. And even in the palace, as long as Duryodhan and company was there, the life was very painful, even in the palace also. So therefore the Pandavas tell Narad Muni, don't quote us as the best of the devotees. Hide us. Because if you tell that we are the best of the devotees, nobody will come to the path of devotional service. They'll say, no, this is not good. Therefore, have you ever seen other than Hare Krishna devotees ever naming their daughter Kunti, Draupadi? They don't name. Psychologically, it's, you know, fit. Maybe Draupadi, they feel, no, if you say Draupadi, then they have to think of 5 husbands also. But Kunti also you don't find. You don't find Kunti's name. Sita, very rare, few names are there. What to speak of that? People don't want to put the picture of Mahabharat in their house. I said, ghar mein Mahabharat ho jayega. So it is a natural, you know, feeling in the heart of the living entity. Trouble means keep it away as much as possible. So how will they appreciate Bali Maharaj? In the Niti Shastra, you know, this just is the perception. The perception of Bhagavatam is that Bali Maharaj, by giving everything to Vishnu, he became greatest of the devotees. But in the Niti, there is a verse, it says, Ati Sarvatra Varjet. Bali Maharaj lost everything because of too much of charity giving. Sita got in trouble and because of too much of beauty. Jahan ati hai, har cheez mein, wahan naash hai. So they give this example of Bali Maharaj. Just see the mundane concept. If you give something too much, then you lose everything. Yes, if you give it to your relatives, your friends, you know, just whimsically, that is there. But to giving it to Krishna, can anybody say it is less? How much can you give it to Krishna? Ultimately, what did Bali Maharaj say after giving all that to Vishnu? Another, you know, is binding Krishna more tight. The prayers what Bali Maharaj offered to Krishna, Vishnu, Vamandev, and just binding him with the ropes of his affection tightly. He said, my dear Lord, he said, when you came to my, one of the, I remember when we were doing our drama Mayur Dwaj, you know, the concept of test. Were they tested? Janamejaya Raja asking the king, Mayur Dwaj story. Were they tested? And we use this verse where Bali Maharaj chants. He said, my dear Lord, when you came to my sacrificial arena, I actually wanted to offer obeisances to you physically, but I couldn't. Why? Because my surrounding was not very favorable to offer that obeisances. Just like in London, when sannyasis come, the devotees have made rule, do not offer obeisances in the airport, because that causes unlimited confusion to people. What's happening here? Why they are, you know, falling on the ground? Like Maharaj, once he was mentioning, he had given some videos of his program to his father, and his father gave it to his friends. And they saw, you know, devotees falling. So they asked Maharaj's father, why they kiss the ground like that when they see your son? So devotee said, don't cause confusion. People are already confused about so many concepts. Another one confusion. You have to ask that question. But when you see some sannyasi, you want to offer obeisance. So Bali Maharaj wanted to do that. But he was in the airport of the demigods, demons. So he said, I wanted to offer obeisances, but I could not do it physically. But within my mind, I did it. And what is the result? The result is just like some pure devotee has done it. And he cries tears. You know, the tears are rolling from his eyes. So therefore, it is for our own devotional life, it is better to use these kind of characters. Another time Maharaj was mentioning, Radhanand Maharaj, during Lord Nityanand's appearance day, he said, Jagai Madai, they are the symptom, evidence, and an example for all of us to never give any excuse not to practice devotional service. He said, you have no excuse. If they can be delivered and given prema bhakti, he said, you can't. You can't even in the imagination of your mind could do what Jagai Madai physically did. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. You know, they would sit on their throne and drink fresh blood of human beings. Now, what demon in this Kali Yuga can do that? How can he digest also? He'll die on the spot. You know, you can't even take bad blood in your body through doctors. You know, you get all that contamination. What to speaking, drinking blood in this age of Kali. All kind of diseases are there. You know, immediately you drink, then you get AIDS and this and that. You can't digest blood also. So what to speak of Hiranyakashipu, becoming Hiranyakashipu. And even he got delivered. So these kind of stories prove the power of bhakti. The pure devotees, whether they are, you know, exhibiting that quality or not exhibiting that quality, you know, you always say, no, they are pure devotees. It doesn't matter. But this Vritrasur or our Bali Maharaj, no, and Vibhishan, born in a demonic family, you know, stayed with Ravan, wanted to stay with Ravan, tried to convince him, don't do like this, don't do like this. But he kicked him out. He said, get out of my place. And he came. And there are some people who exhibit these qualities but don't implement. If you study Kumbhakarna in Ramayana, all Kumbhakarnas, Vikarnas and Karnas have the same mentality. They understand but they don't change. Kumbhakarna, when he saw Vibhishan, he said, get away. He said, at least you survive. You know, protect our family. You are on the path of dharma. He said, don't fight with me. He said, go away from here. He said, because I've lost the concept of good and bad, the distinction is lost. He said, you go away. He said, if you survive, that is our family will stay. He knew Ram was the Supreme Lord. He knew Ravana was wrong. But he said, no, I have to still fight on behalf of my brother. Vikarna, same thing. And Karna also same thing. There is something problem in their Karana. They don't hear properly. Very interesting in the Shastra. And they lost. So they died for no good reason. If you die for having the wrong concept and you are determined to die, that's one thing. the LTT people and others. They're totally blind, ignorant. So at least we can use their example, such an ignorant people. Here you have a knowledge. Karna says, he said, I see, Duryodhan being carried on a back where only during the time of death you are carried. He is wearing red turban and his body being bathed with oil, which is bathed only during the departure. He said, I see some animals are eating but passing more stool. That is also a sign of death. He sees everything. He said, I see you as the Supreme Lord, but I can't fight on your behalf. I will only fight for Duryodhan. What is the point in knowing all this but not executing? So therefore, these examples, the example of apparently demoniac but transformed into great devotees, is a good example for practicing devotee. Many like that, many such examples are. Hare Krishna, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.